So this week we celebrated Ascension Day, and I'd be willing to bet that for most of us, it passed fairly quietly. We have Christmas and we have Easter, but what about Ascension Day? It's one that tends to slip by almost unnoticed. And today I want to change that, because I think we are massively underestimating what actually happened on that hillside. So this is the day that Jesus left this earth in his physical form and departed to heaven. The Son to be with the Father. And it does seem, to some, a strange concept that a physical body can ascend to heaven. For those who've watched Star Trek, there's that classic line, "Beam me up, Scotty." But we live in an age where we can imagine teleportation, wormholes, parallel dimensions. And yet somehow the physical ascension of Jesus feels harder to believe than science fiction. There are no dissipating particles that transport you magically to another realm. It was a physical ascent that was witnessed by many. I believe that this is vital to our faith, that we not only believe in the spiritual realm, but that we acknowledge the physical. Jesus was born in the flesh, was killed in the flesh, rose from the grave in the flesh, and ascended to heaven in the flesh. And when we meet him in the clouds, it will be in the flesh. And when Jesus returns and touches down on the Mount of Olives, it will be him again in the flesh. He never vanished into thin air. He's not some ghost that people worship. He is the living, breathing God, standing at the right hand of the Father, waiting patiently for the signal to go and gather up some clouds and begin his next rescue mission. So perhaps I'm trying to overcomplicate this point a bit, but my statement is this: Jesus is real, physically and spiritually real. So the ascension is one event that is probably one of the most significant in the life of Jesus, and for many reasons. Luke was the only New Testament writer to cover the ascension. And it was written in a way that makes you feel like you should be more familiar with the event, like it's something you should already know about. Luke was writing to the people of that time, and because they were there, they would already know what happened. So Luke 24, verse 51 to 52 says, "Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." In Acts 1, verses 1 to 2, Luke records the following: "The former account that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen." If we move on just a few verses, it gives us more information on the account. So verses 9 to 11 say, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood up by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." And this short passage gives me the goosies, and in the best possible way, that Jesus was taken up in full view of the disciples. There was no sudden disappearance, no particles floating around. There were no tricks. He was taken up, received into a cloud, and disappeared from their sight. I cannot help but relate this to a preview of our blessed hope. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 17 says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Same clouds, but we know how we will leave in the rapture. We who are alive and who remain will be physically taken up, as Jesus was, and we will meet our Savior in the clouds. Well, I'm up for that. Just as Enoch and Elijah were physically taken up, Jesus ascended bodily, because the physical matters to God. And when Stephen, the first believer who was to be stoned to death for Christ, testifies this before he died as he looked up to heaven and saw Jesus, Acts 7, 55 and 56 say, "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." So this testifies that Jesus ascended to and remains in heaven. We worship a living God, the creator of heaven and earth, and he is real. Not some fairy tale mythical man with a big beard. We often read the account of Ascension Day and focus almost entirely on what was happening on earth. We picture the disciples standing there on the Mount of Olives, watching Jesus bless them one final time. We imagine their faces lifted upward as the risen Christ physically ascended before their eyes, higher and higher, until a cloud took him from their sight. It's an extraordinary moment, and understandably so. After all, they had witnessed, from miracles to crucifixion to resurrection, and now they were watching their Savior return to heaven itself. Well, of course they stood there in awe. Of course they stared. I mean, any one of us would have done the exact same thing. But we do this because we're human. We naturally insert ourselves into the story. But today, I want to invite you to step out of the hillside crowd. And I want you to look at this from a completely separate vantage point. So imagine not being on earth. Imagine being in heaven, waiting patiently and watching. While those eyes were looking up, craning to see him as he went up, there were other eyes looking towards earth from above. The courts of heaven were preparing for the arrival of the victorious king who conquered the sin, who conquered death. And suddenly the words of Psalm 24 become something far greater than beautiful poetry. So from verse 7 it says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? "The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory." Selah. So this was not simply a farewell. This wasn't a mere departure. This was a triumph. Jesus left the perfection of heaven, and he willingly entered into our sin, our brokenness, our struggles. He became flesh. He endured temptation from the prince of the earth. He experienced the grief of loss. He faced betrayal. He suffered through unthinkable torture. He even took the inexplicable weight of all sin. He went to the cross. He had died. And he entered into the grave. But it did not end there. He rose, showing death who is boss. And when he ascended, he was returning not in defeat or in shame, but in victory. He returned to heaven as the conquering king. Psalm 24 almost reads like heaven itself is announcing his arrival. Who is this King of glory? Who is this approaching the ancient gates? Who is this returning from battle? It's a loud, bold, magnified answer. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Because Jesus did not just ascend. He ascended having finally accomplished the mission. Our sin had been paid for. The fear of death has been defeated. The grave has been overcome. Satan's power has been broken. His scars that he showed his disciples and let them physically touch to remove any shadow of doubt were no longer merely reminders of suffering, but eternal declarations of victory. So let's play the human game and insert ourselves into heaven for a moment. Can you even begin to imagine what that moment must be like? Those ancient doors of heaven heaving open and the King returning in all his glory. The Lamb who was slain is now exalted in triumph. Every promise fulfilled, every prophecy completed, every part of redemption is secured. The ascension is not simply about Jesus leaving his disciples standing on a hillside. It is about his enthronement. It is about the victorious return of Christ to his heavenly throne. It is the moment when the one who humbled himself, who came to dwell with us, and in death was exalted. And perhaps what is most humbling of all is this. He did not do it for himself. He did it to make a way for us. The King who entered those gates as victorious conqueror is also the one who opened the way for all who belong to him. Because of Jesus, heaven's gates are not forever closed. Because of Jesus, death does not have the final word. Because of Jesus, redemption is not a distant hope, but a secured promise. So while the disciples stood looking up, probably anxious, afraid, bewildered, and wondering what on earth would come next, heaven was proclaiming something far greater than a goodbye. Lift up your heads, O gates. The King has returned, and the doors could do nothing but open.